Hello, this is George and Dom for the 10K special. This is a story of Finn and Val.
Well, now 11K special.
Cause yes.
We said we were going to do this for 10K, and at the time of this recording, we're at 11 already.
Blew it away.
Yeah. So, sorry you're getting this a tad bit late, but...
You guys did that.
Yeah.
So, let's start with...
I think we should start with Val, because he was around first.
Okay.
And, you know, he just had more story revolving around him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, with Finn, I had to be real nitpicky.
DMPC and all that.
Just the only, like, setup it takes for Val is he was your very first character.
Yep.
And he came from your very first campaign, my Hailmere campaign, our homebrew world that we did... God, it's weird to think it's been like 2 or 3 years since we've been there. I mean, the one-shots we've been there, but...
Wow, it has been that long, hasn't it?
Yeah, but it's been like 2 or 3 years since we've actually had, like, Meepo, Ari, Finn, you know, all of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Garrett.
Wow. How time is flying.
Yeah.
So, starting with Val, he was a Asmir fighter, specifically Battlemaster Warlock.
Celestial Warlock.
Celestial Warlock.
Multi-class.
Yeah. Very interesting combo. He kind of is that character that is your typical first character. Kind of, I don't want to say bland, but he was very to the point of, alright, I want to be able to do some fighting. You know, I don't understand spellcasting yet. We talked about the Asmir for the flight aspect of that. But even then, I never proudly showed off my wings in public. I was covered in pretty much a potato sack all the time just to hide.
I think there was something from your hermit background, too.
I think it was just like common clothes and like a raggedy blanket.
Yeah. And you just put that blanket around your back.
And I had like shining plate. I was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a full-on knight, for lack of a better term. He was very knightly, very honorable, Superman-type vibes.
Very. He was the hero nobody knew they needed, but kind of everybody accepted.
Yeah.
Like, and that's kind of how I wanted to play it, too, because, you know, that wonderful block that says character traits. He was a follower. You know, Val never really... was the leader. He just kind of put in his 2 cents, and it's like, if you guys listen to me, that's cool, but like, I'm just gonna tag along with you.
Yeah, and even in like an Asmir sense, if you get into like the whole angelic side of D&D with like Solars and all that, that's a lot what they do. You know, if you're a lesser angel, an Asmir, whatever term you want to use, you listen to the higher ups.
Yeah.
You listen to the powerful angels. You know, you're kind of just like that brainwashed soldier that's yes sir.
And I think we should also touch on why Val was in the Mortal Plane and not in Mount Celestia.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
If I remember right, my dad was Gabriel, the big bad archangel of Mount Celestia. Pretty much the ruler, right?
Yeah, he was pretty homebrewy, but I also needed something for Craven Edge.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, pretty much pissed off dad one day and... sent me down to the mortal plane, and I was just kind of after a while screw everybody up there, and
from a player perspective, it was basically what I think is Val was more curious about, like, Dad, why do you put us figuratively above everybody else, you know, like literally we're in Mount Celestia, we're
we're thousands of miles above, but like that doesn't mean we're above these people.
Why do you look down upon them? Why are you why are you such a pompous fuck?
Why are they ants in a magnifying glass and not of people to be led?
And I think it was Val just asking those questions that it was like, fine, go find out for your fucking self. Because that's just the attitude he had, that, you know, as an angelic figure, he looked at mortals as lesser beings.
He is almighty.
So, yeah, so he passed that on to everybody he taught, his kid, you know, so on and so forth.
Except one.
Yeah. And then Craven Edge started.
Yeah. I was early on to the Critical Role love, so I started seeing this magical talking sword. And
but, well, realistically called the Sword of Kaz, but, you know, Craven Edge.
I don't know all those details. But it was the... I'm glad it didn't kind of come to fruition, because it's something that Val really didn't. Like, yeah. He was such a good character. It's like, why am I throwing an evil sword at him? Because Dom wanted to have fun.
Yeah.
But I feel like it honestly would have ruined the character.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it didn't come. Yeah. I mean, sad Val had to die.
Yeah. And then you had that, the Whirlwind Scythe. You had that for fucking ever. And then...
Session one.
Yeah. And then finally, like, a year later, it's, hey, this thing is a relic. I know in D&D terms they're called artifacts, but in Hailmir they're the relics of the division.
Yeah.
And they basically have, like, I can't remember. It's not BOA gear, but I know I got it from World of Warcraft, that when you obtain an item, if you have one of these relics, it has three stages.
Okay.
And in its dormant stage, where you basically know nothing about it, once you get to whatever its purpose was, then it starts to wake up, leading it into the awakened stage. We never, obviously, I didn't want to have a fucking TPK, so at level fucking 5, I'm not going to throw a dragon at us.
Yeah.
But then we had our first dragon encounter, the Whirlwind Scythe being made out of dragon bone. It was created with the purpose of slaying dragons, and that's when it started doing its whole, like... tuning fork, magnetized effect.
Yeah.
And that thing became your baby.
That thing was my baby.
And then there was Jameson.
The good old Battlemaster mentor.
Yeah.
He was... I really liked him. That was a fun story to have. It was teaching Val, you know, not all humans are bad. And then he was able to teach the same lessons to his... underling, because Jameson, you know, was showing him the way of, like,
Yeah, it's that domino effect of Jameson taught Val, Val taught Sigil. No. You know, and one day when Sigil meets that perfect fucking girl, because he will, eventually.
It's Sigil.
Yeah. Yeah. She's out there somewhere, and they have beautiful little perfect babies. He'll teach them what Val taught him. And, you know, it's just going to keep on going on and going on and going on. But if Jameson wasn't there to start it...
It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, you know, which he was basically just like your tutor, your mentor. Yeah. You know, he was a retired, you know, a retired army guy. You know, a veteran. You know, he was a guard in Might Bell for a long time, because there was that specific district where, hey, if you've served, you get free housing, because it's my world. And I can do that.
We can do what we want.
Yeah. The joys of Might Bell.
Might Bell is so good.
Yeah. So you got a couple parts of Craven Edge assembled.
Yes.
In our campaign.
I think we had the Hilton.
Yeah. In our campaign, I broke it into separate pieces, just to, you know, scavenger hunt, story arc type thing.
Draw it a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of it just all happening at once, because it is, after all, it's the Sword of Kaz. It's, at the end of the day, an artifact.
Yeah.
You know, it's up there with, you know, the Axe of the Dwarvish Lords, the Orbs of Dragonkind, and so on.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So you got to assembling a couple of pieces, and I know we're going to step a lot in between, but it's, you know, time is of the essence, and people care about the spice. So the spice of Val was when you guys were just a casual night, taking a long rest at home.
Yep, I know where the story's going.
Yeah, and then with some perception checks...
That went bad.
There were some burglars in the house.
Yes, there was.
I'll let you take it from there.
So this was Val's...
We were around level 9.
Were we? Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to say Val's first kind of big people are bad.
Yeah.
This was Auric. And I can't even say people because this was a vampire that was after me. But Auric came in and decided to, like George said, break in, kind of taunt me in my own house, kidnapped Sigil, the child I was mentoring, and that's what started, I don't want to say even like a downward spiral, but Val became very gung-ho on, I don't care what happens to me, as long as my friends that I'm with are safe, being the party, and then Sigil was safe. Like, that's all I cared about. Like, we talked for weeks before this, where it's like, all right, so with everything you, Dom, are saying, you are getting ready to sacrifice your care if you need to. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to, but when it comes down to it, you know, if it means protecting everybody, yeah. And so that was the kind of first realization of, like, all right, this is real. This may go south very quickly. And that whole story arc, like I said, Val was very on edge. Val was showing, I don't say true colors, but the side of intention.
Self-destructive to his own fault.
Yes, even. That's a very good way to say it.
Didn't really care for his own well-being at this point. It was...
That little bird man was all I cared about.
You tunnel-visioned on this guy.
Yeah.
Which, his introduction was lackluster intentionally, because a lot of bad guys, they have that big, grand entrance of, you know, look at me. Yeah. Him and some fellow vamps, much lesser vamps. It's not like I'm throwing six vampires at a party. I know better.
They just walked in and did their shit.
Yeah, and what was the hint, nudge at this is more than a casual band of bandits is it was specifically at night, and they all were wearing the outlaw-style masks, so their mouths were covered at all times.
So no matter how much they spoke, I never saw those teeth.
Yeah, you never saw those fangs, and, you know, you get completely geared up in those leathers that, you go from shoulders to the arm brace to the wrist guards to the gloves. You're not going to see much skin to really see how pale they are.
I mean, even if you're seeing only the eyes, you're not going to be able to gather how pale they are with the shadows and hair and all that good jazz.
If somebody, like, if Sigil would have been, like, present and gotten, like, a good insight check, you know, there could have been a hint at, hey, something's up them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all along what seemed like a band of bandits and their leader, Thug, was Auric and his fellow vamps, who then retreated to Heroes Fall. That's the story arc that you were talking about, where that took place. Heroes Fall clearly doesn't sound like a nice place.
No.
It actually is a town. So it's not like we were just like diving deep into a dungeon. It is a town named Heroes Fall because that's what happens there. Good people have come here and tried to fix the dozens of problems we have, and they've all fucking died.
Yeah, every single one.
Heroes Fall. Where a lot happened there, you know, like we met Worm.
Worm.
Yeah, which, you know, we don't need to go into every little detail, but it was when we got to...
Just think of Val's final moments. It's like he met a lot of really good people and then died.
I mean, we were getting into some Doris romance. That's where we met Malice. I'm confident, I don't even need to ask, I'm confident he's in Ravnica, so we don't need to touch on Malice yet. So when he's introduced in the campaign, then that's everyone when, will know what we're talking about. But that is initially where we met Malice.
Yeah.
And it was, like I said, Worm. Max and Echo.
Oh, gosh.
They were there. They were another set of lesser vamps. They were actually brother and sister, twin brother and sister. Max was an Eldritch Knight fighter, and Echo was a multi-class of Ranger and Rogue. And that's also where Glacial Fury came from, another one of the artifacts. Now I'm saying artifacts. Fuck. Relics. In Hailmir. And then once we basically did, like, every... We very much video gamed Heroes Fall. You guys were like, let's do every side quest. Let's 100%
this
really bitch. And then get to Auric. You know, let's get as much power, items, friends, and so on.
But once we started learning, because at this time we were learning what Auric was, you know, mm-hmm. we were learning that he was a vampire, and you know, we started seeing the I don't know how I want to describe him, but it was like the rats and the fog,
yep,
all the layer kind of yep. giveaways yep. where it's like, okay,
yeah, the city itself was divided into three districts, and where he was the flight district. Which is where we saw a lot of Ella.
Ironic.
Yeah, Ella was Val's deity. She was basically my spin on Bahamut. You know,
okay.
She was just basically my own version of it. You know, way dialed down because we already had so much celestial good dragon. Like, we already had all of those elements going. It's like, that would just be so fucking much. Like, we already have an A. We don't need to push this all the way into the extra credit area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she had a bunch of elements of him mixed in with some homebrew stuff. And then that's where we saw... I can't remember if it was Lee or if it was David. Somebody gave me the idea once we properly, like, delved all the way through the dungeon post-Auric. To call it the New Dawn Castles. That was the actual dungeon he was in. Remember, there were the three castles horizontally in a row. They all connected with, like, bridges and shit. Yeah. I honestly can't remember what its first name was because I got so used to calling it the New Dawn Castles. It was blah, 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 New Dawn, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember the blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm blah, blah, blahing. But that name was just so catchy that I stuck with it. I was like, dude, that sounds fucking good. And that dungeon straight up took entire session.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that you guys did right. First of all, we saw Timothy prior. That's where we met Ham.
Good old Ham.
Yeah. And then we delved into the castles. That night, Val and Finn actually had a long one-on-one. And the bearded huntsman, of all places, with Otis and Gammon.
This night was...
Yeah.
We, as players, weren't looking forward to this night, and it became very obvious mm-hmm. at the table, because it's like, we already know what's happening.
Yeah,
like,
it became very somber.
There's a good chance, like, Val's not walking away from this. We had extra drinks.
Yeah, the... The end game was very, like, it was personified from what you and I knew what was likely going to happen. That this was, like, Val's last night. Let's have some fun. Mm. You know, it was a lot of let loose, but there was that very somber underlining of, we're only doing this because we know what's happening tomorrow.
Right, like...
Yeah.
There's a good chance I'm not waking up at some point tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's go to bed happy.
Yeah.
And if I do wake up, we can do this again.
Yep.
But it was that moment of, if I can't, I had to.
I mean, and Val almost made it. You were only like two, maybe three rounds out, but at the same time, that's weird to say almost because it's a vamp. Multi-attack, legendary actions.
I was getting bit a lot.
Yeah.
Because I was that...
And that's what does it.
Being the DPS of the group,
yeah.
I was in his face mm-hmm. the entire combat. Sure, I had E-Blast and, you know, my hammer that flew, but at that...
Seismic.
Yes. But at that point, I was... This is you and me. I'm in your face. Do what you will. I'm right here.
Yeah.
Like, that was the point of, like, I could back up,
mm-hmm.
but I am not going
to.
You are not getting the gratification of me backing away from you.
Yeah, and there was so much good that we did. We did a lot of research on vamps prior to know how to kill them properly. It's just it didn't...
If we didn't, we wouldn't have known that once that his soul left and went to, like, the room.
Yeah.
We knew we had to follow it.
Yeah.
And we knew we had to kill it.
And I am a bit simultaneously surprised that that light bulb never went off, that, oh shit, we didn't do that when we killed Max and Echo, because they ended up coming back when we were in our Icewind Dale campaign, because you guys didn't kill these guys properly. There was no wooden stake, there was no resting place, there was no nothing.
Right.
And you knocked them unconscious and called it a day.
See, and, you know, my character being the new character that didn't meet either of these, he's like, so what's the big deal? And everybody else is like, this
you fucker! Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, you guys did all the research you needed to, you know, holy oil, holy water, you gotta get them in their resting place, you know, expect this. And the new Dawn Castles had all of that and more. You know, I played with that fog that they div off, that it was, like, taking shapes.
That was cool.
Yeah, there's a variety of animals that you can pick
from.
Yeah, just because of Ulrich, just, you know, he's so scummy that, you know, if he was more of a grand vamp like Harold, you know, if Harold would be evil, I would div him bats, 100%. Because that's Harold, he's very grand.
And, I mean, let's be real, he was Batman, so.
Yeah. But Ulrich, bats didn't feel right, so I definitely went with the rats.
And being in the city, he had to have something that was a little bit more...
incognito.
Low-key. Yeah.
And then the plant life, how it became, like, all, like, blighted and thorny
overgrown
and spiky.
Necrotic.
Yeah. But it was, like I said, a lot of good things happened. You guys went there during the day, so... all of his fellow vamps were resting because it's daytime.
We were so confused walking in there. It's like, why is nobody here? Why do we hear snoring? They're sleeping! Shut up and turn on the stealth. And we got through most of that castle without any combat until Ulrich.
Yeah, you guys stormed in there at like 10 a.m. It's like, these guys are fucking asleep. I think that there was like one or two that were like switching off patrol, like taking guard, and that's when Finn started fucking around with this message spell.
That
he like made them start hearing shit. Just, you know, it was very video gamey, where it's like The Last of Us. You throw a rock and it makes the zombie want to go over there. He was hearing voices. So
what
he went over.
Yeah,
I gotta go check it out.
That's just it. He's doing his job checking it out, but... For us, that's the perfect thing, because it's like, all right, he's there, and quick 50-foot dash while he's not there, get through that door.
And Finn had passed without a trace.
Which helped.
Holy shit.
I mean, especially Val being the big, clumsy idiot he was in plate armor.
Every fucking group campaign that we're in, that you guys are in, have somebody that knows or can prepare pass without a trace. That is an amazing spell. But yeah, then we stormed up there, and basically like his kind of reversed upside down idea of a foyer leading into his chambers. That foyer like area was tombstones with your guys' names on there, just being like, yeah, I know you're coming. And
here you are.
I still suck. So, and then the combat ensued, obviously. I had a lot of fun with the lair actions. I went very old school with that. I took some stuff from Pathfinder.
Did you?
Yeah, from, you know, it's basically called a D&D 3 or D&D 3.5e.
Okay.
Yeah, which the 3.5e is Pathfinder.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So I took a lot from that, and I basically just had to put it in, like, modern-day terms. Like, instead of fortitude, it's constitution. You know, it was a lot of terms that are, like, the same thing.
It's the 15-year-old term for it, and we don't use it anymore.
Yeah, so how do I modernize it, or, you know, what are they talking about that I could put into 5e terminology?
No, I hear you.
Which, holy shit, we went many rounds. I think we fought them for like 3 hours. Yeah, we just got that Alexa light bulb, so I had the red light going for a while.
Unfortunately, it got really hard to see, but that totally set the mood of, like, this got real.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it's a vampire, you know.
What else do you expect?
Yeah. Like, it was our first honest-to-God big boss, you know. We had some fights, you know. You're level... I swear we were level 9 at the time, maybe 10.
I want to say so, because I want to say everybody... Yes, we were level 10 because Meepo, we started at level 10 because we had to level up after Auric because we do milestone levels.
Yep, that's right. Honestly, the only other things I can think of is, like, Dax, his dungeon.
That was a weeks-long dungeon. Yeah. That was 2 solid months of dungeoning.
Yeah, dungeon crawl, straight up. But, yeah, we fought him for... fucking hours, unfortunately.
That was one of those, like, IRL exhausting fights.
Yeah.
Like, everybody at the table was legit tuckered out from rolling dice.
Yeah.
Just because it's, like, it was so mentally taxing and, like, emotional. Because, you know, we had the night before, and, you know, we are watching Val take bite after bite.
Those grapples
down,
man.
Like... You know, I'm telling you guys, stay back. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Lay on hands myself. I'm fighting this thing out. And drop.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the thought everybody had when Val pretty much for the... He's gone unconscious.
Yeah.
But, like, this was that first time I feel like everybody went, is he getting up?
Yeah. Yeah, because you were already... 2 death saving throws down, you got healed back up. Then, you know, obviously he's an intelligent person. You know, if we fought some hook horrors a few months prior. You know, they don't know any better. They see Thing fall. Great, I kill Thing. Next Thing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not very intelligent creatures. Ulrich knows much better otherwise.
He's down. I got his heart.
Yeah, so...
I got his neck.
Yeah, so it was just a matter of 2 attacks, and I just had to hit the first one, and you were already grappled, so I basically got to give myself advantage.
Yep.
And then there was just that last punch where I think I let you... Yeah, I offered final words. Just as, like, I know you're not coming back, you know you're not coming back.
What are you saying?
Yeah.
And I pretty much told the group to not let him touch Sigil.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, that was... Saying that was like, yep, that was it.
Yeah.
That's real.
And that was actually pretty much it. The only other big thing we had happen was when the vamp, you know, just about any vamp drops unconscious. There's, like, some smoke, their soul, their spirit, you know, whatever it properly says. Goes to its resting place, which he basically had a hidden vault behind his chamber, which we found, drove the stake into him, but then it was the investigation check of what else is in here that the entire area that his resting place was in, you know, it declined up and out, that entire area was outlined as if it was the hand of Vecna. That obviously you assembling the sword of Kaz, Vecna hears word.
What's that little Asmir down there doing?
Yeah, I need a strong ally, and it was Vecna promising, obviously he's full of shit, you know. promising Auric he'll take away his vampirism.
Yeah.
If he kills you, he'll no longer be a vampire.
Oh.
Yeah. Which he did kill you, so realistically, Vecna should have brought him back, taken away vampirism, but at the end of the day, if I'm sitting here, you know, the god of fucking evil secrets, no, you were my puppet. Thank you.
You lost. I could go hold my word.
Nah.
But I already won.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
And we actually do have to live stream in, like, 5 minutes. So let's blaze through Finn really quick.
I was
going
to say, let's get to Finn real quick.
Okay, so Finn, 100% improvised creation. I don't even think you were present for
Finn. I wasn't.
Yeah. It was a very drunk night in the first place. Me and this goes all the way back to Tyler being at the table. It was me, Tyler, Styler, and Jen. And just to even go and show how much further back we were, this was when Styler was playing Tallick.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
his very first character, yeah. Jen was playing a different character. Jen wasn't Ahri. That alone.
Siri.
Yeah, that alone is enough to
have
a timetable.
Yes.
Yeah. So they were basically just like exploring some like abandoned farm silos. You know, the giant. Yeah. That there was like five or six of them that, you know, it was very like post-apocalyptic, like that, you know, people were living in them and shit. There were monsters, and one was a trading post. It was super cool.
It sounds like it.
Then in one of them, as they started spiraling up and up and up, there was something about a troll being in charge at the top, and that's when like Sears light bulb went off of, they died of fire damage, I have fire spells, I got this. So prior to that troll fight, I had a group of kobolds that strictly spoke Draconic. They didn't speak Common. So that just kind of threw, you know, a bit of a loop at them. You know, are these kobolds enemies? Are they friends?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we communicate in the first place? Drunk George, without thinking, didn't realize Siri speaks Draconic. So she was able to communicate just fine. So I had to make one of these kobolds then and there because she was speaking to him. I have to speak back. That's my job. I'm
right?
The dungeon master. I mean, and we've talked about it in previous streams, previous episodes. I'm a big wrestling fan. One of my favorites is Finn Balor. So when I have to improvise somebody, most of the time it's someone in wrestling. I'll just take their first name. So his name was Finn.
Trish.
Yeah, exactly. So this kobold became Finn. Styler and Jen just loved him so much. It was like, hey, why don't you stick around with us? And it was at that point he became a sidekick, 100%. So he was a kobold ranger. I wish we had more time because he had a great story. You know, like, I kept him out a lot of, like, the strategizing, battle planning stuff just to squash the meta. Like, he was obsessed with wanting to drop an anvil on his enemies' heads.
Sunflowers.
Yeah, sunflowers. Like, he had the weirdest little quirks, but, you know, everybody knew, okay, yeah, that's fair. You know, he can't really speak up about it. So super long story short, his brother and his dad were/are both bards. He got into poetry, as dirty as it may have been. He wrote a lot of his own poems.
He did write a lot of poems.
You know, Vicious Mockery, he wrote his own insults, and I printed out a D100 table that I found somewhere of D&D insults.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Tasha's Hideous Laughter. I took a lot of dad jokes and
so
I made a lot
of
my own jokes. His bardic inspirations were the poems that I wrote specifically for, you know, each different PC.
Yeah.
Sometimes it wasn't exactly inspiring.
No.
It was more horn dog than anything, but bards.
Bards. Exactly.
And just simply over time, he grew to straight up be Val's best friend. Just straight up.
I mean, it didn't help that we were already real life best friends and all that, but it's just the characters melded together so well once they met.
They complemented each other.
Yeah, and Finn learned how to talk, and Val was helping him through that. And
yeah, you know, you had the chaotic good of Finn just being like, hey, he's having a lot of fun. Huh. You know, that just being Val's perspective, you know, it was a lot of Val was, I gotta do the right thing. Oh, it sucks, but I got to.
Yeah.
When over here, Finn was doing the right thing, but he was having a blast as he was doing it.
Stealing health potions to save an entire town.
Yeah. The last couple of big things, because we literally have to get streaming in less than 2 minutes, is He did die at one point. Straight up dead, not unconscious, died.
Fair.
Yeah, so we had a reincarnation take place, which, obviously, you look at the reincarnation spell, you roll on a D100 table to come back as a different race. He came back as a forest gnome. He had many, many sessions of being pissed off about it. Remember, his nose. That's the one thing he missed the most, was his big-ass kobold nose.
He did miss that damn nose.
Yep. He developed a mohawk, and we basically, once it became more clear, we're keeping him around, that's when I started fleshing him out more.
Yeah.
So what was a very shy, kind of not special kobold ranger became a lifelong table favorite gnome bard.
Yes.
And like the bard, obviously inspired from Jasper and Laren, his brother and his father. The gnome was straight up luck.
That was the
table. Imagine if he was like a fucking Goliath or an elf. It'd be fucking weird.
Finn as a Goliath.
I know. It'd be fucking weird. So just bless.
That's not right.
Bless the dice gods for that D100. Whatever it was that I rolled, yeah. And I think that's where we can close this out. If you guys have more questions about the Hail Mirror campaign, Finn, Val, other PCs, anything like that, you know, we can do another one of these at some point.
I think so.
It's just we'll have to keep them in this, like, half an hour time range because we're late for streaming.
Yes.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Bye-bye.